listen now for Call to Worship, a half-hour program dedicated to presenting the truth of God's Word. Call to Worship is sponsored by the Zion Chapel in Holland.
Listen to what God gives through and because of Christ. He giveth more grace when the burdens grow greater. He sendeth more strength when the labors increase. To added afflictions, He addeth His mercy. To multiplied trials, His multiplied peace. His love has no limit. His grace has no measure. His power has no boundary known unto men. For out of His infinite riches in Jesus, He giveth and giveth and giveth again. How true that song is. He giveth more grace, more than we deserve, as much as we need. Out of His infinite riches in Jesus, He giveth and giveth and giveth again. Today He is giving us His Word. That in itself is grace. The story is about He giving His Son. And that truly is grace. In this, the message from Christ is teaching us, calling us not only to faith, but also to repentance. And both are given in grace when they're finished. Listen to the words of Christ, John chapter 3, verse 16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. He that believeth on Him is not condemned, But he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For every one that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. The scripture that we read begins with grace, God giving Christ. It ends also with grace, that they are wrought in God. Every good and perfect blessing comes from above, from the Father of lights. The temporal, but especially, we ought to be thankful for the eternal. Here we have that which is eternal. Let's give thanks for it and pray for understanding of it. Our Father, we do give thanks for thy loving the world of sinners, only sinners, and giving thy Son, knowing that he would be rejected, despised, spit on, killed, but also knowing, Father, that this was a sacrifice for sinners according to thy determinate counsel, knowing that he would be raised again from the dead, knowing, Father, that he would, as he is now, be seated on the right hand, and thou giving him that place till all his enemies are made his footstool. We pray that many might be made the footstool today. We give thanks for thy making us the footstool, humbling us, and then making us to sit in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. We pray, Father, for this word to be blessed to our understanding. We pray that it might be blessed so that we will be humbled by it and repent. We pray especially that it might be blessed so we can believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. Everyone that hears it, everyone, Father, that does not believe, we know will be damned, will stay under condemnation. And we pray that this word also may soon be sent to those that are not yet hearing it. We also give thanks, Father, for the temporal blessings that we have, the sunshine and the rain, the peace and the freedom that is ours in this nation. We pray for those nations that are at war. We pray for the nations where there is drought and flood and starvation. We pray for those suffering, homeless, hungry, war-torn lands. We pray for those suffering also in sickness and injury, especially, Father, those injured in the war that must bear the burden of fighting for others and suffering for others, some of them throughout their life. We pray for thy grace for them especially. We ask, Father, for thy blessing on our homes that are need to be established, need to be continued. And, Father, those that have not, that are broken, we pray that thou would teach the church, that it will teach rightly how to enter into marriage, how to continue, how what thou hast joined together, that let man put asunder. We pray, Father, for the church again to know thy word and know it together, that it might be one voice in this world and one voice to all the homes. We ask, Father, for thy blessing on the word that is taught in the schools to the youngest, to the elders, all of them, that they might again be taught that in the beginning thou didst create the heavens and the earth, that thou art the lawgiver, and above all, this message here, that thou hast so loved the world that thou didst give thine only begotten Son, that everyone may know the need of that. We ask, Father, for thy blessing on to give healing, thy blessing to give other needs daily to those in lonesomeness, those in sorrow. Give comfort, but above all, Father, through all these afflictions, we might know the brevity of life and the certainty of death and how to prepare for it through Christ. Amen. We have here, once again, the word of the Lord Jesus, the perfect Son of God, who could say, just before he died, I have glorified thy name. And he was doing that here, glorifying his Father and telling us, telling Nicodemus first and us as well, that God so loved the world. What world was that? The world of sinners. We read in by the pen of the psalmist, he looked down from heaven to see if there were any that did good, and there were none. None that sought the Lord. Sometimes in wars, men have been dropped behind the enemy lines. And unless they could hide, they would be captured or killed. The Lord Jesus was put here amongst enemies. Almost immediately, Herod wanted to kill him. Later, he was killed. Killed by those that should have been known better. Should have known the Word of God that the Scriptures told us that Christ was going to come, be born. Born in Bethlehem. Born of a Virgin Mary. That He would send light. Give light. He is the light. That He would then suffer, die. Isaiah pictures it so plainly in Isaiah 53. And we have the type of it as the Lord Jesus Himself said, as we read in earlier messages, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up. That did happen. God did give. And the message is, as Christ said just before He left this earth, to be preached to every creature. Another way He said it was that remission of sins, the forgiveness of sins, be preached in His name, repentance and remission of sins, in His name and His name alone, to every nation, beginning at Jerusalem. All of that is given. We are to be taught about Christ, about God, about His way, about His salvation. That is a requirement of the church, those who have believed. And everyone should submit. Everyone should welcome it. But we can see that that is not so. The Lord Jesus not only said what God did in His love, also what that blessing would give. God sent not His Son of the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. 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 A word often given in Scripture, but not a word rightly understood. The world doesn't care about it, and I'm afraid many in the church don't think they need it. The Jews didn't. They went about establishing their own righteousness. They thought they had a righteousness by the law, instead of knowing that Christ had to come and fulfill the law. And He was the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. All of this is given so we might believe. Last week we sang, "Not What My Hands Have Done." That didn't do it. It's Christ. It's another, not ourself. Our salvation rests totally in another. Yes, we may do things to prove that we have it, but we don't have it because of what we do. We have it because of what He gave. We have it because of what He did. We have it in believing. That's God's means to give it to us, as Paul said in his letter to the Galatians. The law was the schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. And then we were shut up under that law, taught by that law, until God knew we believed it, till He had taught us. And that's what is really meant in this last verse, in the last part of it, verse 21, that His deeds may be made manifest, they are wrought in God, showing that we have been taught of God. And God knows it. He does it. And He teaches us our need of Christ. He teaches us, tell. We are truly humbled. Every mouth stopped. The world guilty before God, as Paul describes it in Romans 3. And then, that faith that is afterwards to be revealed. We have to be humbled to believe that Christ is speaking to us, each one of us, when He says, He that hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. This is the condemnation. Not believed. That's where God starts with us. Every one of us. We didn't begin our life believing. We maybe began our life hearing. We may well have begun our life believing the historic fact that God did so love the world. We may have begun our life repeating it, memorizing it. But did we believe it as sinners? As lost sinners? Yes, lost sinners. Christ not only tells us this, speaking it to Nicodemus, giving it in this third chapter. But later in his ministry, he said he came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Sinners. Sometimes we hear about limited atonement. Is it limited? It is limited for sinners. It's limited in its benefit. It's limited in its call. He came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. And if he does call the righteous, he makes them know they're sinners. He did that with Paul. He did that with me. He had to push me, as it were, from cloud nine, falling rightly, deservingly toward hell. Then I knew I needed the gospel. Before that, not. I didn't believe I was a sinner. And not believing I was a sinner, I could not believe on the Savior. Yes, historically, I could. But savingly, not. That is a grace of God. That is where He gives more grace. When He gives the grace of conviction, the grace of the Spirit coming and convicting the world of sin and righteousness and judgment of sin, because they know not me, Christ said, because they have not believed on me. That's the first work of the Spirit, to show us that we are this guilty group. He that believeth on Him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And it isn't just seeing Him, believing, thinking about it, weighing it out, but worse than that, we want to get away from it. This is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. We are sinners, and in one way, we seem to know it. We want to get away from the truth. We don't want to listen to it, but at the same time, we want to deny it. I'm not that way. I'm not a lost sinner. I'm not so bad. Don't tell me that. Why were all the prophets killed? Christ said, which of the prophets have not your fathers killed and stoned them which were sent unto them? Why? Because they told men they were sinners. They told them they were sinning. They told them to repent of their sin. They told them, even as Moses said in his farewell, that his sword is whetted. As the psalmist said, their feet are on slippery places. As another place, God's bow of His wrath is bent. Jonathan Edwards preached that in his sermon. Sinners in the hands of an angry God. That's where God begins. Some people want that skipped. Some people say, don't preach that. Some people even say, oh, they know they're sinners. All we have to do is tell them the gospel. If we want what we sometimes call easy believism, then we might do that. Do you want to go to heaven? You want to make sure of heaven? Then just believe. Skip over the fact that we have to be saved from our sin. Yes, saved. brought out of darkness into light. And here we love it. We have entered into it. Men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. When we read letters like Paul wrote to the Colossians, that they were brought out of darkness into his marvelous light, we sometimes think, well, that was somebody in a heathen city, those Colossians. Or the same thing true of the Ephesians or the Thessalonians. But that's not us in the church. We in the church love darkness rather than light. We may have been born like the Jews, the blessing. What advantage hath the Jew? What profit is there in circumcision? Much every way. To them were given the oracles of God. Many have learned it. Too many have preached it and still lost. I remember learning the beginning of God's teaching me from a man that was lost preaching. Had a missionary that came home and preached to his supporting church. And when he spoke, he kept saying, Christ died for sinners. Are you a sinner? Every night that would come out, Christ died for sinners. Are you a sinner? The preacher first said, Amen. God began convicting him. He had preached for 25 years. And then he was, through this missionary, convicted and later saved. And he wrote a book, How God Saved a Baptist Preacher, preaching for 25 years. This God using this man. Christ died for sinners. Are you a sinner? Christ saves only sinners. There's no good people that went to heaven without Christ dying for them. Not Abraham, not Moses, not Elijah. All of them were sinners. Paul, later, said, I had not known sin except the law and said, Thou shalt not covet. And he made it very plain when he wrote to Titus. He said, to speak evil of no man, to be no brawlers, but gentle, showing all meekness unto all men, for we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lust and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. This isn't just out in the world. This isn't just in the dark countries, heathen countries. This is in the church. This was Paul, a Pharisee, the most religious sect of the time. We ourselves were also foolish. He and Titus, to whom he was writing. And this is you and me. Everyone. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And not just some sins. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. And that's what Christ is telling Nicodemus, the very religious Jewish man. A master, as he said, art thou a master in Israel, and knowest not these things? This is the condemnation. First he said, God so loved the world. Now he says, there's condemnation. What is the condemnation? After God's love was manifest, Christ was given. People would rather hide than come to him. Rather run away. We can read in John chapter 6, where there were those who would say, this is a hard saying. Who can hear it? Christ said, doth this offend you? A little later we read, from that time on, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Still a little later in his ministry, there were those who were described as believing on him. And he said to those who had believed on him, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed? You will know the truth. The truth will make you free. They said, we're Abraham's seed. We're never in bondage to anyone. We're not sinners. They wanted to believe in Christ, part of his message, but not continue in the word, not want the whole message, wanted the part of believing and have whatever profit was in believing, but not the humbling, not the repentance, not the guilt. Finally, Christ had to say to these people, you are of your father the devil, and they proved it. The last verse in the chapter says they took up stones to stone him. They hated the light. Yes, these particular people, this group, took part of the light, heard part of the message. But Christ says, you must continue. And that's what we must do here. Not stop at John 3:16. Not stop at John 3:17. Not stop even at John 3:18. Not the first part, but the last part of that verse begins. Because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For every one that doeth evil hateth the light. Hates it. Hates God's light. Hates God's Son. Despised and rejected of men. That's why he went to the cross, from the human side. From God's side, it was his love. Our side, it was our hatred. Only God can bring that together. Only God can teach us. Only God can teach us in such a way, as Christ also said a little later. They shall be taught, it is written in the prophets, they shall be taught of God. And him that is taught of the Father, Christ said, comes to me. Has the Father taught you that you're a sinner? Has he taught you in such a way that you must come to Christ? That you now need Christ? He that doeth the truth cometh to the light. Have you seen that what was before was lies, hatred, pride, bitterness, deceived, serving divers lusts and pleasures? Like Paul, I had not known sin except the law said, thou shalt not covet, wanted more of this world's goods, wanted more of pride, that what it'll give. That's all the error, all the sin, all that needs to be submitted to. We can't undo it. That's not what repentance is. Repentance is agreeing with God that we are guilty, guilty, guilty. And God saves guilty sinners. Yes, he saves guilty sinners. That every mouth may be stopped and all the world become guilty before God. But now, Paul says, the righteousness of God without the law is manifest, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, the righteousness of God which is Christ, Christ, Christ. Look to him today.
Thanks for listening to Call to Worship. If you have questions or comments regarding today's program, you can write to Zion Chapel, 937 Royce Avenue, Holland, Michigan, 49423. Or their email address is worship@calltoworship.org. For more information on Call to Worship and its ministry, check out their website, www.calltoworship.org. Listen again next week at this time for Call to Worship.
Praise the Lord.